Yeah, what is going on, New York? Welcome back to another episode of
Knicks Anonymous, and not just another, actually 85, the 85th another, I guess we would call it.
episode 85. I mean, 85 long, that's a long episode. That's a long career to have as a podcast. I think we should give ourselves a round of applause every episode at this point. I'm not going to lie. Because it's funny how we were talking about that whole controversy thing earlier today with how people are with legends and how, like, some legends expect you to, like, what did you say? To be congratulated. Yeah, to congratulate every time.
To be congratulated every time you see them.
Yeah. So I feel like, well, I don't think we're legends, but to myself, I'm a legend.
I'm a legend, but I think I'm pretty damn good.
Maybe just not on paper or in accolades, but soon to come. Knicks Anonymous family is growing. Speaking of Knicks Anonymous family, shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family themselves, because Stevie, we are the people's voice.
We ain't nothing without the people.
That's what I'm talking about. And tell the people where they can find us.
Absolutely. Follow us on Instagram at Knicks Anonymous. Follow us on Twitter at Knicks with a Z, not an S, Anonymous. We're pretty much active on both. So yeah, I would say go hit us up on both Twitter and Instagram. We're also on TikTok, Knicks Anonymous as well. You can find us also on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora, and Breaker.
And you heard it here first, folks.
Did I miss anything?
You did not, Stevie. Did you shout out the website?
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Did you shout out the website?
That's what I missed. You can also find our website, knicksanonymous.com, where you will find our beautiful pins.
So if you're on YouTube, you saw the commercial, gangster. That's a fact. We are doing visuals. Just in case, if you're tuning into the audio only, we are on YouTube with the actual face cam, so you see our beautiful faces. I actually don't have a cut right now, so my apologies. I should have threw the snapback on, but maybe I'll get to it somewhere down the line. Oh, look at that. Look at that. A safety snapback just for me.
Yo, it's weird. I actually have a haircut, and I'm wearing a hat.
And you know what's crazy? You know what's on this hat, Stevie?
The Knicks. Oh, the pin.
The Knicks Anonymous pin. Oh, yeah. I pointed to the wrong side. Sorry. You already know how we do, man. So, okay. We were supposed to... for those of you who are regulars, it is clear that today is Tuesday. Well, today is Monday. You're listening to this on Tuesday.
We're recording on Monday. We had some technical difficulties yesterday. Apologies for that, y'all.
Yes, we fucking apologize. Oh, why? I didn't even have to curse. I didn't even have to do it, bro. And it just came out anyway. Like,
we'll let that one slide.
What was that about? Okay. Yo, listen. Comment down below if you can relate. I don't know. Maybe it's just the New Year. I don't know. Maybe it's, I just curse too much. Who knows? But, cool week of basketball. Not for nothing. Last episode, I expected us to lose every single game possible. I did say we would have a 0-something record. I think that was a little bit of a drag, but I just went with it just because I said it, so I had to stick to my word. You feel me, Stevie? You know how that is.
I said we'd steal a few. I told you.
But would you consider the... I don't consider the Boston one a steal, though.
I would say the Cavs one was a steal, especially the way it ended.
Because the Cavs, they were kind of... I don't know. Maybe it's a steal. I don't know.
Are we gonna get into the game since it's out there?
No. We're not gonna get into the game. We got some other stuff to talk about in today's show. It's gonna be a good one, though. It's gonna be a very good one. So first thing on our list is James Dolan. For those of you, my fault, Steve. What are you gonna say?
I said Dolan.
Dolan. Stevie, tell me about your opinion on Dolan before we get into it. Let's hear your biased opinion. Unbiased opinion. Sorry,
I personally am not James Dolan's biggest fan. I'll be honest, I don't like him. I don't hate him, but I don't like him. But at the same time, I think he gets a little too much flack. Does he deserve some of it? Absolutely. He's not the greatest owner in the world, but at the same time, I don't think he's as bad of an owner as the media portrays him to be. It's just the moves he made just so happened to not work out. That's all. You know, it doesn't. It might mean you don't have a good basketball mind, but he does have a good business mind. Can't doubt that.
And you know what's crazy?
But that's just my opinion. Since you asked.
No, that's a good opinion. I like that opinion. The craziest thing is his biggest criticism is the Carmelo Anthony deal, right? Would you say that's his biggest, like?
Oh no, he has a lot more than that.
Okay,
the whole Charles Oakley thing, the whole Spike Lee thing, the Patrick Ewing thing. You know, he has a lot of things. Dolan has a lot of things. That's why I said, you know, I mean, he's not the greatest owner. I'll be honest, he's probably not even the smartest guy in the world. But I don't think he's as bad as everybody makes him out to be. It's just that when he makes his mistakes, they're blown out of proportion because of the market he's in and the team he owns.
And maybe the situations he's in, because that's kind of crazy to have the Oakley situation, right? The report came out that he was intoxicated, right?
Apparently. We don't know.
We don't know. He was apparently intoxicated, very aggressive, yelling at Dolan. They said
he was heckling him from what I heard.
Yeah, so I don't know, that whole situation's kind of shaky. I mean, honestly, if you're the owner of the building, I get it. You know, he was one of us. He was a Nick, you know. I guess you gotta have that mutual respect. But I don't know if I'm getting yelled at in front of my face and pretty much getting embarrassed, because we gotta go by what the report says. We can't go by any opinions. You know, I don't want everybody out there to be like, oh, you don't know, like, you know, you don't know anything. We gotta just go by what we know. You know what I mean?
So yeah, like to sum it up, what you're saying is if you own a building and somebody's intoxicated and they're heckling you, you're kicking them out too.
You know what I mean? Like,
maybe that, not, if that's what you're getting at, I agree. Maybe
it wasn't even like a kickout. Maybe it was like, remove him from the room kind of thing. Like, you know, you're getting a little too crazy. Let me just remove you from the room. You know what I mean? Like, because maybe it's bad for business everywhere. Because imagine how that looks. You have a ex-Nick or an old Nick yelling at the owner and probably slurring some crazy ass words that we can't say on podcasts. You know what I mean? Who knows what was going on? So even like as a business guy, that's bad for business, dude. You can't be doing that in the building.
Oakley probably was like, "You ain't."
Yeah. He's probably going off. Well, okay, let's not jump. Let's not jump on the. Let's not defend.
Nah, no, I'm just joking.
No, we gotta keep it. We gotta keep it biased. I know. We gotta keep it, you know, straightforward. Look, we're not gonna hop on the Dolan bandwagon, even if I don't think there is one. But listen,
as I said, I don't like the guy, but I don't hate him either. You know what I mean? I'm pretty unbiased. I'll say that.
Listen, he has his bad moments. All right, he has his moments. So, recently there was an interview, because you're probably wondering why we brought up James Dolan in the first place. He had an interview with Good Day New York. Do you watch Good Day New York, Stevie?
That show's been around for years, dude.
I have never seen.
I watched it when I was a kid. You know what's crazy? When we used to wake up to go to school, when we used to stay over grandma's house, wake up in the morning to go to school, that's what she used to watch.
Really?
Yep.
Oh man! So damn, this shit is old. Quarter.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, two quarters. We're not gonna let the other one slide. I changed my mind.
It'd be like that. I respect it. I do respect it. That is the right call.
We have to feed the hungry.
After further review, first down.
But nah, Good Day New York's been around for a long time. It's been around.
That's crazy. So,
I didn't even know it was still around, actually.
I don't know. It's all news platforms are mainstream. You know how that goes. But anyway, so the interview was actually not even about the Knicks, at all. Like people blown out to, because as like the way people were talking about it, I generally thought he went on Good Day New York just to talk about the Knicks. That was kind of weird to me, that whole situation. So it was not just about the Knicks specifically. It was specifically about security. Facial recognition security in the Garden. So pretty much what's happening is he's getting sued by somebody. He didn't say who, but he's currently getting sued, and he doesn't want those people suing him in the building. So he uses face recognition technology to see if, you know, these people are out there, and if they are, they get security on site and get them out of here. So apparently there was controversy around that whole topic. Why are you laughing?
Nah, because like now that I'm hearing it like out loud, because reading about it and hearing it out loud is different. Now that I'm hearing it out loud, it sounds kind of weird.
It sounds a little extreme. I'm not gonna lie to you. It sounds a little.
I don't think it's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy either. I mean, I understand. Like So one thing in the interview is he was throwing a lot of hypotheticals to try to make her understand the situation. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like what if you were kicked out of your house? Like what, you know, what if you like, you know, what if someone like banned you from something? Or like, what if someone stole something from you? Or like,
I got a good hypothetical to help with that for people who don't understand. I can make it simple. Let's say I order a restaurant and you order some chicken. Everybody loves my chicken. Everybody loves the chicken. But you eat the chicken and you get sick. The next day, you come back, you let me know you're suing me. And then the day after that, you come back and try to order some chicken. Should I serve you some chicken?
Hell no, you shouldn't.
Exactly, you know what I mean.
Like he was trying to say like it's not personal, but it's personal. Like yo, you're trying to sue me. Like
it's a conflict of interest.
You know what I mean? So
like,
I gotta.
Why are you coming if you're trying to sue me? Like, are you here to watch the game or are you here to investigate me? That's how I would be looking at it.
They're personally. Probably looking for more problems. They could mess with a lot of things on purpose just to try to get him. You know, for whatever they're trying to get him for.
I mean, because think about it. He did say, you know, like, for now you're not welcome, but when this is all over, you're more than welcome to come back. So even if he said win or lose, like if I lose this case and I end up have to pay you, you can still come back.
And even if I win and you don't, you know what I mean? You're still able to come back. Like,
so there's not even any bitterness there. I think it's weird that you're doing all facial recognition. That's some. You ever seen that movie Minority Report? I don't know if it's the same thing. No. Minority Report was pre-crime. Facial recognition was another movie. I forgot. But anyway,
Avengers. Look, if you watched Avengers, which one was it? When the Red Skull took over Shield.
Okay. All right. That's a better example.
When they used the ships to track everybody's face and they were all gonna die.
There you go. That's a better example. Okay. Yeah. Copy. Gotcha.
So
I'm not gonna lie.
I'm not gonna lie though. So who knew James Dolan had the James Bond in him?
I mean, it's kind of weird, as I said, but I don't blame him, bro. Like that's a conflict of interest. You're suing me. Why are you coming to my establishment?
So I guess the biggest problem is like I guess for everybody else's safety, like what is it like? Because obviously, the facial recognition is gonna scan your face. I don't want to get too into this because this is not what we're here for. But
I mean,
like,
the way I see it, we cool. We go like, well, these guys are Knicks fans. They all right.
Yeah, honestly, I'm gonna keep it straight up because I don't want to stay on this topic because it's completely irrelevant to the situation. But I guess you know, just to you know, whatever. So. I don't think it's a problem. I think he's defending his property like anybody else would.
I would defend my business.
Especially when it's a multi-billion-dollar business or a billion-dollar, whatever number you can think of business, you know, and one of the most famous in the world. So, hell yeah, I'm defending this. You crazy.
Yeah, bro. I'm going out for mine.
So.
And he said he has no intention to sell. For everybody that wanted to sell, he's not selling. He's not selling. You know what's crazy? I don't want him to sell now.
I mean, look what's really going on. You can't look it. I get everybody has their issues with the team now, but if you really look at the span from Fizdale is always gonna be the precedent. All right, understand that. Fizdale's
low point. That's rock bottom.
Fizdale set that in motion. That is the lowest of the low, bro. 17
I wouldn't even call that setting it in motion. That's like the car breaking down.
Dude, 17 wins will for that season that everybody watched and lived through. That is the season that is the worst. If we're not there,
and the first Phil Jackson season,
and I think the last, right?
The first one was bad, bro. Like you had Lua Munson starting. Exactly.
Who is that?
Exactly.
Who is that? All right, exactly.
You don't even want to go back to that time. That's too depressing. We're just sticking to the golden topic.
We're giving the toxic Knicks fans ammo. Stop it. Look, we can't do this no more. We can't go down this road anymore.
Hey, bro, we just being real. This is what we do. We're not toxic. We're just being real. This is what we do.
I respect it. But, okay, so, obviously, Dolan was asked about not only the Knicks, but also the New York Rangers. He was asked about how he thought about both seasons and how they were doing.
How are the Rangers? Let me go check that out. I'm not much of a hockey fan.
I do not know.
Just out of curiosity. Let me go check.
Okay, so I'm going to summarize what Dolan said while Stevie checks that.
I'm just curious.
Dolan said they are doing well. They're not at the top of the league nor at the bottom of the league. We are in a playoff position now.
Which is the truth.
End quote.
Facts.
And then he also went on to talk about how we lost a pivotal role in Mitchell Robinson, which everybody has seemed to actually forget. Slip your mind sometimes that we do not have our center. Everybody loves to complain about defense. Well, hello, our number one shot blocker is not in the game. So
I like that Dolan pays attention to the product.
Like everybody said, he didn't. So okay, if you literally take this interview and what he said, because these are quotes, I'm reading quotes. This is straight from the interview. If you're taking this at straight value, which I don't know how other way you can see this, this is nothing but positive stuff. And still, Stevie, still, what do you think?
And weird, like I said, the whole facial recognition.
We're past the facial recognition.
No, but I'm just saying, like, everything was positive and weird. I don't consider that the weird part of negative. It's just weird. You can throw it as a positive, as a negative, however you want to perceive that. I just perceive that as weird, but I have no problem with it. It's whatever.
I bet. That's what's up. So, yeah. And then, okay, so this is where the Knicks fans kind of got the kind of got pissed off, right? He says how fun it is coming to the Garden and how he wants to keep it fun, safe, and family-friendly.
Well, random shit. The Rangers have a winning record, 27-14. All right, Dolan.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Look at that. Come on, what's up? W owner.
Stay enraged. Okay, did you hear what I said, Stevie? Or do you want me to say
I'm sorry, my fault. I cut you off right there. I apologize. I just want to throw that out there, get that out the way.
So he says how fun it is coming to the Garden and how he wants to keep it fun, safe, and family-friendly. So basically, people are trying to tie that to a narrative that he sounds like a selfish owner and doesn't care about the Knicks and only cares about sales.
Could you repeat that quote one more time?
He says he wants to keep it fun, safe, and family friendly.
What's selfish about that?
That's a great question. I'm not going to lie to you. Let me go back one more time.
Now, here's what would have made it selfish. I want to make the Garden safe and family friendly for my family. That's selfish. For the Dolans, that's selfish.
You had some Austin Powers, Demon.
Knicks fans are weird. Like, how is that selfish? He's trying to make things better for the fans.
Listen, look at
me.
You can't.
He could be talking shit. We'll throw that in another quarter. He could be talking crap.
I felt that.
He could be talking crap, but you know what I mean? Like, what do you want him to say? You know what I mean? He's an owner. He has to be politically correct.
And you cannot lie. You cannot look me in my face and tell me it's not fun at the Garden.
I love the Garden. Every time I go there, I have a good time.
Knicks fans, listen to me. If you're watching YouTube, I'm getting closer to the camera. Look into my eyes. If you tell me right now that coming to the Garden is not the most fun you've had in a long time, you're lying.
I won't say it's the most fun, but like for a sports experience, yeah, it's up there.
Okay, for a sports experience.
For a sports experience, it's up there. You know, it's up. Even with, and I'm not even.
Well,
a
not
Yankee
even
fan.
That. If you're,
I'm
if
not
you're,
even. I'm not even a Yankee fan, and Yankee Stadium's the same way.
But here's the best part about the Garden: it's not only sports; it's also entertainment.
That's a fact.
It's literally a coliseum, one of the greatest coliseums of all time. To ever be built, the Coliseum to like have, and it's in our backyard.
The world's most famous arena. my guy.
It's literally in our backyard. I am like about 30 minutes away by two train, via two train.
I'll take 20.
20?
Oh. If the train's running good.
Nah, not at this time. 10 I'm at 10 p.m. Nah.
Oh, okay, that's what I'm saying. If the train's running good.
Yeah, at 10 p.m. Nah.
If the train's running good, that's a 20-minute ride.
It does be fast, especially if you take the 5, transfer to the shuttle. Ooh. But we're not going to get into that. That's sanctioned. Yeah. So, okay, so obviously there was backlash with this interview. You can only, I saw it coming. As soon as I
heard Dolan was talking, I was like, watch everybody get mad.
And I didn't even see the interview. I just saw everybody posting, reposting the...
Yeah, I saw a little clip. I saw little tidbits.
The same clips over and over, and they kept reposting the clip of him saying how we're not... So people were mad about him not being, like, I guess, concerned or angry. But I'm like, dude, like, what? I'm like, but, like, why? You're on like, national... TV. What do you want me to do? Throw a fit? Like...
Like, tell the interviewer, mind your fucking... mind your business.
That's a dollar. Like,
flip out on the interviewer.
That's a dollar.
Flip out on the interviewer.
Yo, a dollar for that one.
I'll throw a dollar for that.
Yo, listen.
You know, they wanted him to flip out on the interviewer. Yo, Nick fans are weird. Like, yo, not for nothing. Like I said, you could say the interview was kind of awkward. You could throw that word out there, but there was nothing negative about it.
I don't like the fact that he said
some positive stuff.
I just don't like the fact how she kept trying to, what's her name? Rosanna. I don't like how Rosanna.
It's not Rosanna Scotto, is it?
I don't know. I didn't write last
name. If it's her, wow, she's been around for a while.
I don't know if it's Rosanna, but I have Rosanna written down, so I'm going to go with Rosanna.
Might be Rosanna Scotto.
So she just kept trying to change his hypotheticals. Like, she kept, like, saying, oh, no, but I would do this instead of... You know, she kept making him try to... It was weird. It was odd. Like you said, it was an awkward interview.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could throw awkward in there, but, like, I wouldn't say it was negative. Like, I didn't get anything negative out of that. It's just people not liking Dolan, bro. It's because of who he is.
And he's old. Oh, my God. I haven't seen Dolan in so long. When I saw him, I was like, oh, my goodness.
That's great, bro. Less is more with him, as I said many times.
That seems to be the trend in the Knicks community. Less is more. Because it happened with Julius Randle. Happened with James Dolan.
Julius Randle, like, now we need more from him. Get him to rock.
Crazy. He has changed up and down. He's crazy, man. I love
him. Still has his goofy moments.
I'm getting a Randle jersey.
Bro, he has his goofy moments still, but for the most part, get him to rock.
Would you say he's the heart and soul of this team? Yes.
No, I would say Jalen Brunson is.
Nah.
Hell yeah. Without Jalen Brunson, we probably a lottery team.
Okay.
Possible.
Let me rephrase that. We're not a lottery team,
but we're maybe like 2 or 3 games under 500. I'll say that.
Okay, I'm going to split it. I don't think we have a heart and soul in one. I think we have the heart. No, we have the soul in Jalen Brunson and the heart in Julius Randle. Can we agree on that?
I guess.
Yes. And RJ is the brains.
I wouldn't go that far.
RJ's been okay. He's been good. He's been, especially in the Celtics game, but we're going to get there. So, okay, moving on. With the trade deadline coming up very, very soon. I think this week, right?
Nah, I believe next Thursday.
Next Thursday?
If I'm not mistaken. It's next Thursday.
So last episode, which you should go check at KnicksAnonymous.com or on YouTube, links in description. We talked about a lot of different trade opportunities that we may look at, or just rumors that have been linked to us. So just to fly out some names out there, we named Reggie Bullock, we named Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso, Grayson Allen, Serge Ibaka, and I think we threw in DeMar DeRozan in there. I'm not gonna lie, I don't think we did.
That was a while ago. Nah, we didn't mention him last time.
We didn't mention him, but
we did talk about him a while ago.
We did see. I have been seeing posts of him lately, so I'll throw him in that as
nah,
well.
I've been seeing a lot of OG Anunoby, man. That's starting to sound like it's getting real.
Like real, right?
It's sounding like it's heating up. But I can't lie, bro. I'll make it short and sweet about him. Because we're gonna get into Obi, right? I assume.
Yeah, Obi and Grayson, but yeah, it's all the same.
All right, okay. We're gonna get into them. So I'm gonna make it short and sweet about OG. He'd be a great fit, bro. Not for nothing. He would be a big, great fit.
He's Is he pretty much identical to Reddish? Can you say that?
More like RJ. A more athletic, better defensive RJ.
Interesting.
He's good, but I don't think he's 3 first-round picks good.
That's a lot. Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what they're asking? That's what you said? Yes.
2, maybe.
My goodness.
I'd give him 2.
Where did he fall in the draft? Do you know?
He was drafted 23rd overall in the 2017 draft.
Yeah. So do you think that's 2 first round picks though? Like it just depends how he's 2. Playing now, right?
3, no. Even 2's pushing it, especially considering right now he's hurt. So yeah, you know what I mean?
His injuries. I've heard stories about his injuries. I don't think it's the first time that's happened.
No, that too. He's injury prone. He's good, bro. I can't lie. He'd be a fit, but there's a lot of concerns there. I don't think he's worth 3 picks. But that's just my opinion. We can move on from him unless you got something to say about that.
I just really heard that he's pretty much like what you said. He's a defensive nose kind of player, like a, you know.
If he can stay healthy, great. But he's iffy as far as that goes.
Kind of like Tom Thibodeau is like wet dream, pretty much. That's what I'm hearing.
To an extent, yeah, I could agree to that. I can agree to that. And he's a good shooter. He would help the shooting.
So he killed us in one of the games, actually.
His defense.
He actually, yeah, they're giving us problems.
The game that Siakam dropped 52? The game he dropped 52, his defense killed us. Especially in the fourth.
Nah, he's a good piece. All right, so look it. He's averaging 16 points. 17 points and 6 rebounds. He is shooting 45% from the field and 37% from 3.
Pretty good.
That is pretty good. But my boy Grayson Allen got a better 3-point percentage, but he does play less. So,
let's move on to that, I assume.
Definitely take that into account. So on Twitter, I'm seeing a lot of people in content with the whole Grayson Allen idea. It seems like people are starting to kind of realize it's not a bad move. It's not as bad of a move as people thought it was.
Who would we give up for him, though, is my question. I wouldn't mind Grayson Allen personally. I actually always liked him.
Evan Fournier.
Nah. Contracts don't match.
That's true.
So it would have to be like maybe for Cam straight up.
So I guess now it just depends what's the best available option for Cam. You know what I mean? Would it be Grayson Allen? It might be Anunoby due to the fact that he's a 3-and-D, right? 3-and-D player?
Yeah, but it's not going to just be Cam. It's going to cost way more.
No, it definitely is. But, okay, so you're saying it would cost less to get Allen. Like, we would probably just trade player for player type thing.
Maybe add, like, a second-round pick or another player to make the salaries add up.
So I mean, Grayson Allen fits though. You know, he's a hard nosed player. Like you know, Tibbs wants. He's how you say quote unquote dirty player.
Need a shooter.
We need a shooter. He's shooting 40% from the 3 and 44% from the field. So he's actually shooting better than Anunoby, both field goal and 3-point percentage.
Interesting.
And he's averaging 23 minutes a game. How much is Anunoby?
He's a starter.
Okay. Yeah. Never mind. He's averaging 35. So, okay, but listen, Grace, okay, let's think about the rotation real quick though. If the rotation stays the same with the minutes goes, right? Anunoby won't fit in the system like that unless he takes Grimes' spot, right? Mm-hmm. So Grayson Allen would actually fit because not only we get to keep the starters like your brother would love to keep Grimes in the starting lineup. So, Eddie, this one's for you. to keep Grimes in the starting lineup, you would get Grayson Allen, to come off the bench with Emmanuel quickly, because now he's averaging 26 minutes.
That'd be some firepower off the bench from 3-point line, not for nothing.
You know, and I said it on Twitter. That's a dynamic drive and kick combo. That's something the bench lacks. We don't have a drive and kick combo. You have it in Obi, but he's very streaky.
Only problem is we'd be short a wing. So we would have to pick up a wing somewhere. Melo, I'm just throwing that name out there.
Yo, Melo, that's a great signing. That's got to be done. I'm not going to lie to you.
Think about it, bro. We need a wing.
He's a big wing, too.
We might, and the possibilities there, we might trade Obi. Melo could back up the five. Melo could back up the four and the wing. Just saying.
That sounds so good. Oh, my God. We gotta send the postcard to Tibbs or Leon Rose or something.
I'm just saying, you know, that's a long shot, you know what I mean? But you never know, bro. You never know.
We got to send them the smoke screens. We got to send them the...
And we need bench scoring. Just saying. I'm just saying.
So what it's looking like is Anunoby is going to be looking like the one, the be-all, end-all trade of our season.
Because I don't think it's happening.
That's why I don't think it's happening. Because if we would go for Anunoby, he would be the guy that we give up most of the assets for, which I don't think Anunoby is that player. I think in this move right here in Grayson Allen is the safest bet, because they are stockpiling picks and assets for something. You can't overlook that situation. They're saving for something. They have something in mind, or maybe they're hoping for something to fall, you know, in the right place or even close to, so they can even try to make a move on something.
Facts.
You know, so this is the safest option. Honestly, you come off the bench with quickly. You have another 3-point asset.
And you don't have to give up too much to get him either.
You know, and he probably won't be the only one. Like you said, we need something to accompany this guy, you know, in this trade, because we do have a lot more to offer, even with second round picks and stuff like that. So, you know, we could sneak somebody out as well. And honestly, speaking of trade rumors, I heard the Clippers want Hartenstein back.
I heard that as well. But I don't know, bro. Now would be a bad time
to move. Morris.
Now would be a bad time to move, because number one, he's not playing too bad. You got to give him credit. You got to give credit where it's due. He's been playing pretty well since Mitch's went down. He's not playing great.
No, better than I expected. I'll say
exactly.
That.
He's playing good. I'm not saying he's playing great, but he's playing good football.
Shout out to Smitty.
Jericho Sims. We give credit where it's due. But being that Mitch is out, now would be a bad time to trade him. But the thing is, you know, you can still use him in a potential deal in the offseason. So, you know, that possibility is always there. So a deal with him is always on the table. I just don't think it's going to happen in the trade deadline. So I think iHeart's here not for the long haul, but for the end of the year.
And that's a good thing you brought that up, too, because that's another way to even look at it. Like, the trade deadline doesn't necessarily mean trades are over. You know, you still got offseason. You still got, you know, the draft.
It just means the trades is over until the offseason.
You know,
like once the finals is over, then things can start popping, because, you know, draft time is next.
Yeah, so, you know, this is not our only chance to do something. We still have a lot of time. And remember, it is a rebuild. Let's get a hashtag rebuild in the chat right now, because we got to remember it is a rebuilding team. And with rebuild, you're going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
And with those problems, you need to find a solution. So what the Knicks have seen, and what the entire Knick community seen, is that we are lacking a 3-point shooter and bench power. Here you have
perimeter defense.
Even though
it has its moments, because our perimeter defense is inconsistent, but when it's on, it's on.
I think we have top three right now, in which is strange.
Are we still?
Yeah, it's very strange to me. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, we're in great position. Either way we go, they can't really mess this up unless they do another Melo trade. I don't want to throw that into the universe. So, you know, I wouldn't stress too much about it. We all know what's going to happen. When they get either one of these guys, it's going to be an overreaction about how we shouldn't got this guy, overreaction of how great this guy is. We're going to overhype him and probably not, you know, he's probably not going to...
It's not gonna be a major deal. The most we're gonna do is the most that'll happen is probably Grayson Allen. That's the most.
I think he's best case scenario, man, because you know you don't lose much. You know, like we said, he's a very safe option and he's very efficient. 40% from three. 44% from the field. And if you keep the same minutes, 26 minutes, which he's probably going to get less, he'll probably become more efficient. So that 26 minutes might turn to probably 16, probably, which is good, which is more than anybody else is getting other than quickly off the bench. So, you know, I'm glad everybody's opening up to that idea. I'm glad to see the Knick community opening up as a whole, even if they are forced to. You know, it's still good, because the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I just laid a gem on you there, folks. Like and subscribe for that one. You already know how this shit go. Put the quarter in the bank.
Drop some salt on them.
Okay, so Stevie, how do you feel about this one?
I'm listening.
It says, Nick fans want to trade Obi for his own good. For what and for who?
I'm 50-50 on that. Because I kind of agree. But at the same time, why would you want to trade that off the bench? Not he. Well, it depends on what you trade him for. You know what I mean? You don't just trade him. Because Obi Toppin is a talent. You can't say he's not. He's just not getting the minutes to show his talent. But when he does, you know, sometimes he makes the most of it. Other times he doesn't. You really can't blame him for that. You know what I mean? Could you blame coaching? Yeah, obviously you could. But obviously the talent's there. So I guess for me, I don't trade him for his own good. But if a good deal comes along, then I do trade him. I don't just get rid of him just to make him happy. Unless there's an arrangement there like, hey, you know, we're going to give you this and you take Obi. I don't know what with what team or whatever. Excuse me, because I haven't really heard any rumors. But I also think he's here for at least till the end of the year. So we're not going to – I don't think he's going on anywhere.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. So – do you think it's Obi's talent, or do you think it's like his ability just not to? Do you think he doesn't fit in? Like, do you think we should get rid of Obi? Like, do you think we should trade Obi?
Well, as I said many times a while back, we're eventually gonna have to make that decision between Julius Randle and Obi Toppin, and it's obvious we can't pick Julius Randle because he's playing out of his damn mind. So.
He's balling. Balling.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess the time is coming. As I said, I don't think it's coming at the deadline, but the possibilities there are the most likely to be in the offseason.
Yeah. No, I agree. Listen, I like Obi. I think we should keep him as long as we can and obviously use him because he's like you said, he's talent. But like you said, if a good trade arises, I don't see any reason to not include him. Especially McBride. I like McBride. I like McBride's defense, but he's like a Frank Ntilikina all over again. He's a smaller Frank Ntilikina. He has no offense whatsoever. His defense is better than Ntilikina's, I think, in my opinion, but no offense. So
I think his offense will eventually get better. I think we should give him a chance. That's just my opinion, though.
Okay, listen, I'm always on that boat, but I'm always on the boat that if you give me a good deal and this is what you want for it, I'm giving it to you.
Well, like I said, it depends on who it is.
No, yeah, like, you know, it.
Nobody's untouchable. The only untouchables are the core, and that's Brunson.
IQ Randle. Included, because IQ was definitely yeah. Tradable at one point.
It's Brunson. My core is Brunson, Randle, RJ, Mitch, Quick, and Grimes. Those six. Everybody else, whatever.
The only thing Grimes is subject to is possibly being moved to the bench, which a lot of people aren't really fond of, which is one person that I know. But
you said a lot of people, which is one person.
So, you know, that's the only thing Grimes can be subjected to is just getting moved to the bench, which is not a bad thing at all, especially if we replace him with something good. So with that being said, yay or nay? Or matter of fact, I'm gonna bring it back. Light it or clip it, Stevie.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna use one of yours. Light it or clip it. Julius Randle needs to be a coach vote for the All-Star game.
Coaches vote. Why not? Why not?
Now, if
why
I'm not mistaken, he? please tell me if I'm wrong. But the coaches are able to vote on a player or two. I think two players from each conference.
I don't know how I don't know how it works, but I know the coaches do vote in the bench players. At least that used to be that way. I don't know how it is now because they changed it up.
Yeah. So light it or clip that, Stevie. Do
hell yeah, he should be on it. Why not? Hell yeah. I mean, what more can we say? Y'all watching? We watching? Again, he still has his gaffes and his mess ups, but bro, he's won more games for us this year than he's lost them. Right or wrong.
Right, super you know right. What I mean? And without efficient rate,
same thing without Brunson, without Randle, we probably a lottery team.
Yeah, we're down in the dirt without Randle, man.
No, but let me say lottery team, 2-3 games under 500. Same thing without Brunson, same shit. Nah, another quarter.
It's all right. So just to give you a perspective, I got his average for the last 20 games. He is averaging 28 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists.
Wow.
Yeah. So, look, love him, hate him, do whatever you want. Numbers do not lie, and nor do the records. We may not be in the top seeds, but we have a winning record.
We coming.
So, you know, that's got to show for something, you know, because the votes not only count for your personal, you know, your personal stats, but they also look at your influence on the New York Knicks. Now, if you don't think Julius Randle has been a big influence on this Knicks team this year, you are smoking.
You are delusional.
You are stay off the weed. We don't like that, man, but I'm going to use that quote for now. So, look, Julius Randle has been more than we could have bargained for, you know. And we forget what he did for us as, you know, for a franchise. As far as
his contract, yo. Yeah. People forget about that, yo. He took a big, considering the numbers he's putting up, he took a discount. We got him and Brunson at a discount. How about that for some good team management for everybody who wants to fire Leon Rose? And yeah, there's people out there who want to fire Leon Rose. That's out there.
No, that is out there. But okay, wait. The Randle situation wasn't Leon Rose, because Leon Rose actually wanted to give him more money and Randle turned it down. So Leon Rose did do good for Brunson, though. I'll definitely give Leon Rose that. Brunson was definitely a steal, and everybody says it. And if you don't think so, you're crazy. You are also smoking.
Nah, but that Randle deal, you gotta give Leon Rose credit for that one.
Nah, because it was Randle's decision, though. Because Leon wanted to give him more money.
Still.
I give him the credit for resigning him, for resigning him, yeah. But the money was, Randle kind of helped us with that one. But either
that's
way,
fine. I can agree to that.
You know, Randle has done a lot for this team. Yes, he's had his moments. And, you know, who doesn't love a good villain turned hero story? That's the best way to put it. You know what I mean? He was once our enemy, and, you know, now the guy we look up to now, the guy we pray brings his game every night. And I know you do. I know you pray Randle brings his game every night.
He's about to be a two-time All-Star.
And it all happened in front of your eyeballs. And you're going to tell me you still want a star? It's happening in front of your eyes. New York fans wouldn't know a star if it sat on their face. That's a fact, Stevie.
I agree.
And we're here to give you that telescope and look at the star before it falls on your face.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
So, okay, let's get into the games. Let's get straight into the games. For the week, we went 2-1. Stevie, why don't you start us off?
First, yeah, I was going to say that. We went 2-1. That's great. As I predicted, we beat the Cavs. I'm trying to get the final score up. I'm sorry. Bear with me.
I was actually convinced we were going to lose 0 games due to the fact that we did not have Mitchell Robinson. That is a fact.
We beat them 105-103 behind some great defense that game. And dude, we had them all game too, not for nothing. Like
our biggest lead was 13.
And we blew another lead, huh?
Oh, we sure did.
You know, but who came up? But who came through in the end in the clutch with their clutch defense? Out of all people, the one that everybody loved to hate,
Isaiah Hartenstein.
He played a good game. Can't front, man. You gotta give Ihart his credit for that one.
And hey, look at this was a big game for us because
we look at his stat line: 4 points, 9 boards, 4 assists, a steal, and a block. That's off the bench, bro.
And the game winning block.
The game winning block. Go Ihart.
Go Ihart. You get the claps. If we had the machine, we would have put the noise claps. We don't. So I'll give you an authentic clap.
Randle dropped 36. Barrett dropped 16. Brunson dropped 14. Brunson actually didn't have a good game offensively.
But listen, this game was very important for us as a whole because we were coming into this game on a 4-game losing streak. And we needed something to change fast. And unfortunately, we had to do it against the best teams in the East.
This could have been disastrous, dude, if we would have lost this game.
Because we're definitely going into Boston with our heads low. And we might get our ass whooped. And then we go to the Nets. And we already lost that game. So, you know, it probably would, you know, my prediction would have came true if we would have lost that Cleveland game. But luckily, it did not. And another Snapple fact, fun fact, that game was also on the 9th anniversary of Carmelo Anthony's 62-point performance against the Charlotte Hornets at Madison Square Garden.
Get out of town.
I'm in town. I'm in town, sir. That's crazy. That's terrible.
That's great, bro. But defense won this game, bro. Defense really did win this game. I'm looking at the numbers, bro. I mean, look, dude, Garland and Donovan Mitchell combined were 15 of 41.
That's dude, low Jared percentage. Allen had 24 points.
He killed us. He's what kept them in the game. Like that game could have been a blowout if Jared Allen didn't go off.
He was babying Sims. He was hitting up with pump fakes left and right. He was shooting over him like he wasn't even there.
Got a lot of what's it called? A lot of pick and roll action.
That's something we need to incorporate in our offense, not for nothing. Like bad. Like Jared really, Allen really was bad.
Getting a lot of pick and roll action.
Like really bad. He had 24 points, 12 rebounds. He was definitely making it known that we were missing our best center. So, you know, shout out to Ihart for battling through all this. You know, you have guards trying to come in and dunk on you, and then you have Jared Allen who's also trying to dunk on you. So it scared being a center at that game, not for nothing, because a lot of bad things can happen to you. Donovan Mitchell could come right off a screen, come right down the lane, and just right on your head, you know?
Definitely. I was loving defense in this game, man. It was great. Kind of, it was gritty.
This game gets me mad, though. It's not mad, but like, because we had Donovan Mitchell on lock up until the fourth quarter. Yeah. I told him, I was like, we cannot let this guy awake. And he hit a three and he automatically awakened. The microwave was on. It was like watching a 2K game. He was on fire. Like, think about it. He hit a three. This was like in like 2 minutes left. He hit a three. We inbounded it. Yeah. Randle turned it over. Got, you know what I'm talking about. He got the steal, gave it to Okoro, and Okoro got an and one.
Yeah. I remember.
And then hit a three right after that. That's all in like a matter of like 3 minutes. That's 9 points in like 3 minutes. So that's where the run comes from. You know, luckily, we closed it out. We have a struggling Knicks team coming into this game, going into Cleveland, right? Because it was in Cleveland, right?
No, I believe it was in the Garden. Hold on, let me check. I'm sorry about that. Actually, it was it was in Cleveland. It was in the Garden. I'm sorry.
In the Garden. So, the Garden. You know, six man, Childs of the Garden. The arena that's not fun, according to Twitter. So look at great turnaround. Listen, something we did not expect. If anything, I would definitely call this game a steal. I would agree with you on that one, Stevie. This is definitely a steal. Because apparently, according to Donovan Mitchell, his leg cramped and he couldn't dunk on iHeart. So whatever. But
wah, wah, wah.
Cry about it. Drink more water. Cry about it. Stay enraged. Yeah. So let's move over to Boston. A lot of disrespect going on in Boston. Let's not even get to the game first. Let's get the disrespect comes before the game. All right. So for those of you know, we were playing on TNT, national game, right? National TV, the big stage, big boy, big arena. Pretty much the equivalent of what, Monday Night Football? Primetime? Yeah,
I guess.
Something like that. So who covers us? TNT. The TNT crew. You know, you got Shaq. Ernie's not there. It's some new guy. I don't know his name. Chuck and
Kenny Smith.
Oh, Kenny Smith. There you go. And so they're talking about the game. They're doing their analyst thing. They, you know, they're going in with the numbers. They're doing their thing. They get to the Knicks. And Shaquille O'Neal is talking about Randle, but as he says Randle's name, he says Randolph. And then the team corrects him, and then he goes, Randle, Randolph, whatever his name is.
Disrespect.
Disrespect. Randle went to drop 37 that night.
Yeah, read the whole stat line.
Randle.
It's Julius Randle, Shaq. How about that?
It's crazy how they kept
final score, Knicks 120, Celtics 117 in overtime, by the way.
That was a crazy game, because that was also another game we were in control of and then lost it. But we honestly, we didn't lose it to no other man. I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw Jason Tatum doing what Jason Tatum was doing.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I couldn't believe, like, as a basketball fan, I was loving it. As a Knicks fan, not so much. Like, because what he was doing was video game level stuff. Like,
he was clutch.
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 He was clutch. Literally, you were watching a master at work. That is literally what you were watching. But unfortunately,
I still think he needs some polishing before he's complete. But when he's complete, woo, it's going to be scary.
Listen, we have his kryptonite. Broad. Way Barrett. What is Barrett through? I mean, I said through. What does Barrett do in the clutch?
Anything he did last time. Wasn't a buzzer beating three, but it was a clutch three.
And he was having a bad game, Stevie. He was having a bad game, Stevie. And what does he do? He goes to the corner, sits there, lays there, camps there. He gets the ball by who? Julius Randle, the guy that doesn't pass, Stevie. He gets the ball from Julius Randle.
Water.
Ices it. Ice in his veins. Maple Mamba. What do you want?
You like that?
What do you want?
Kirk Cousins. You like that?
You know what I mean? And we hit the free throws down the stretch.
Yeah, I know. I was shocked. I was in my brain. You know what's crazy? My brain, I was like, oh my God, we're going to miss these free throws. And what do you know? We hit them. Thanks, Knicks.
Shout out to Mama Knicks. Me and my mother were losing our minds watching that game. We couldn't believe what was happening. We literally saw a 15-point lead go to like 14, 12, 10, 9, 7, and then tie game. We went into overtime, like Stevie said. Thankfully, you know, Jason Tatum, dude, I'm not going to lie. He hit Quentin Grimes with a nasty crossover, and we were fortunate enough that he missed. Because that was ESPN right there. I'm not going to lie to you. He hit Quentin Grimes. Don't disrespect Quentin Grimes as a Knick podcast, but I got to be neutral. He hit you with some.
He did.
Oh, hit him with the nastiest crossover I've ever seen. Fortunately, he missed. We went into overtime. The Knicks continued to kill. I mean, it was back and forth overall, but we kept our pace. But I want to note something very important in this game, everybody. Tom Thibodeau's coaching was at par this game. Par. For those of you that don't know what par is, it's a golf term. That means you're doing very good. I don't know golf rules, but basically par means good. If you don't know what par is, you're trolling. Listen. Tom Thibodeau was coaching.
Yeah, coaching his ass off.
In the second half, he saw the way the game was going. He analyzed it. And what he saw was that the whatever group he had in there, I believe it was Quickly, Obi, it was all the young guys. RJ, you know, the regular bench. Not RJ, I'm sorry. It was Quickly, I believe it was quickly Obi, Grimes, Sims, somebody else. I don't know who the other one is, but he saw that group playing and actually making a run, and instead of letting his normal rotation go, like at normal time, so pretty much at like six, at the 6 minute mark, or even less at the 8 minute mark, Julius Randle will come in no matter what. Like, it's just on time, you know what I mean, on automatic. I noticed there was 2 minutes left in the second quarter and Julius Randle never stepped on the floor. Neither did RJ. And I was getting pissed, actually. I was like, why isn't Randle in this game right now? But I noticed it. I'm like, yo, this game is changing. This game is at a good pace. And this actually could be good for us in the long run. Now, usually at the end of the games, we die out, right? And what happened? The two guys that were resting won the game for us. RJ hit the game tying shot, assisted from Randle, and then down the stretch they both had enough energy to close it out in the end. Simple.
Yeah. Is that Tibbs making adjustments? Yes, it is.
Absolutely. You damn right it is.
I mean, we need more of it, but, you know, you gotta give credit when it's due.
I was getting so much hate on Twitter for bringing that up. They were like, yo, you want us to sing and dance every time he does something good? I'm like, well, you want me to sing and dance when he does stuff negative. So, yeah, you're gonna take what he does good. Why wouldn't you want him to do good? He's your coach.
Even a little weird.
Why would you want negative on your own coach? And why especially would you, with a winning record. And why would you celebrate it? You sound stupid.
Especially one with a winning record. I would understand if he was losing, but yeah, we're not losing, dude.
You sound so dumb, man. Oh my God, man.
Like, Knicks fans are the worst.
I was going at it, man, because, yo, shout out to that one dude that was on my side. Everybody else was like, yo, Tibbs this, Tibbs that. I'm like, yo, y'all a bunch of leeches. Negative on negative shit. Put the quarter in. They needed that. I donate the quarter to the haters. But, okay. I just want to run it back real quick because we were talking about this whole Shaq thing. Randle's mother tweeted this. Bet they know his correct name now. Mr. Randle. Write it down. Take a picture of it to remember. Put some really? Respect on my son's name.
Stop playing, really?
Here it is right here.
Nice. Mama Randle.
Mama Randle was in on it. Bro, you gotta nice. Put respect.
I'll take it.
Gotta put respect on the name, man. You got to. You got
All-star
to.
All-star Julius Randle at that.
Listen, I don't care if you're a legend. I don't care if you're the GOAT. I don't care who you are. You gotta show respect. Respect is everything in this world. You gotta show respect. You can't just do that to someone.
Well, in Shaq's defense, he showed respect at halftime.
They were trolling, though.
Well, when he did that, they were trolling. But he showed him respect at halftime. He broke down this game a little something. So to Shaq's credit, he did do that.
But, listen, Randle.
I ain't gonna lie, that was disrespectful, though.
They even brought it up. They were like, yo, I think they heard. I think he heard you. Because they were talking about it at halftime, how much he had at that time. They were like, yo, I think someone told him that you called him Randolph.
Yeah, there you go.
And then he took credit for it. He was like, yeah, I inspire players to be better.
I guess, but whatever.
Of course he did. Whatever,
but the point is we won.
Exactly. And it was a fun game to watch. It was good. Another steal. Actually, I wouldn't consider this a steal. I consider this a hard-fought victory. The Cleveland was a steal. Because Cleveland, we just held on. This game we won. Shout out to Jaylen Brown, by the way. MVP, missed two clutch free throws. You the man, Jaylen Brown. You the man. You the man, my man. And not for nothing, Tatum's numbers wasn't all that until the end of the game and going into overtime. Like, we pretty much had him on Clance for a good amount of time, which is good because obviously you can't stop the best player on the other team for long. But if you can hold him out for the majority of the game, and have him break out in the fourth, I would rather that than him breaking out the entire game. Don't you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
And you got to shout out RJ Barrett and Quentin Grimes for that on their good defense on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. That's tough assignments, man.
Yeah. Dude, I would say this is our best win of the season so far.
Yo, something about the Celtics, man. We just got their number. It's like how the Giants were with the Patriots. They just came, you know, we just got the, it's RJ Barrett. Bro, it's RJ Barrett, bro.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Brooklyn has our number.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Now we bring it back to the Subway Series. I'm not gonna lie, I've been getting more excited for the Subway Series. Like I like New York. I had beef with Brooklyn, I still do. But you know, it now I feel like a more mutual respect for the Subway Series. It embodies New York basketball. I love that idea. It's very cool.
Yeah. We lost to the Nets 122-115. For basically two words, Kyrie Irving.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie to you.
I can't lie. That was pretty fun to watch.
Yo, I was just about to tell you that. Like that was
pretty fun to watch.
That was a beautiful death. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I was like, wow, dude. Like he's, you know, like I'm kind of upset that he's doing this, but it's actually fun to watch.
Yo, bro. Tell me the last shot he took on Grimes wasn't crazy, bro. That step back three from half court, bro. Tell me that was not the craziest thing you've ever seen.
I actually turned it off after that, to be honest with you.
Bro, me and Julie was watching that game. Dude, I'm not going to lie to you. That was a beautiful death. If you saw the ending of that Brooklyn game, you couldn't even be mad. You saw, like I said, a master at work. You literally
He dropped 32, 6 boards, 9 assists.
And I think 11 of those was like in the fourth quarter or something like that. Some crazy number was in the fourth quarter.
21.
Oh, 21. 21? Yeah, 21 in the fourth quarter.
He wasn't playing.
Listen, this shows what an A player can do. Even though we beat the Celtics and even though we beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, take a look what each of their A players did. Donovan Mitchell brought them back in the game, almost won. Jason Tatum also almost brought them back in the game and won. Kyrie Irving capitalized and won.
Kyrie Irving ain't the only one that killed us, though. Nick Claxton killed us, too. Remember, I said I was concerned about that guy.
That's also true. Mitchell Robinson killed not being around.
Yeah, 13, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 6 assists. It's a pretty impressive stat line right there.
That is. And he had some big blocks on him, Julius, not for nothing.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I knew it. I was like, yo, he's been killing. Like, he's been killing lately. So I was like, yo, with Mitch out, we might have problems with him. And I called it. I already knew. I'm not going to say that's the biggest difference in the game. It was obviously Kyrie, but he killed us, though.
So I think in that game, everybody can agree that they kind of came out lacklustered and just not really with the right intensity because Brooklyn
we didn't have it in the beginning. I peeped that. Like we got off to a rough start and like we picked it up, but it was just too late. It was too little too late. Like they had too much momentum that we had to catch up to and we just couldn't do it.
We were close. We brought it to like I think we almost tied the game. We brought it to like 3.
In the fourth quarter we were fighting. We were fighting. It was a total blowout. We only lost by 7.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It was actually a winnable game, believe it or not. It's like I said, agree. It was actually a winnable game. It was just we just didn't get over the rough start, pretty much.
And I'm not gonna lie to you, I gave Tibbs credit for the Boston game. I'm gonna have to discredit him for this game because the offense was looking like a pile of garbage. So there was no ball movement whatsoever. There was nothing. It was straight ISO ball. And when what the Brooklyn Nets were doing is what the Boston Celtics failed to do, which is double Julius Randle. It's exactly what they did, and for some reason, Brunson wasn't really taking control of the offense. It kind of seemed like Tibbs was running the offense, because all Brunson would ever do is kind of just give the ball to Randle and, you know, just walk away. It's not until, you know, later in the game where they actually started to use different things. Like, I saw they put Hartenstein in the post. And it was working because Hartenstein's a bigger player than Nick Claxton. So he was taking him in, laying it up. They were setting up, you know, Jalen Brunson started to wake up. You know, he started to get his little ISO game going. But he's also getting everybody else involved. See, Jalen Brunson's problem is if he can't get himself involved first, it's hard for him to get others involved with him. Because in order to get others involved with him, he needs the attention. You get what I mean? Like, if he's the one scoring and penetrating, now you're forced to focus on him. So now the game opens up. So if you limit his offensive game in terms of scoring, he won't pass, like, a lot either. So that's I think that's one of Jalen Brunson's biggest problems. It's not he's not, and that's nothing wrong because he's not really a pass first guard either. He's a dominant scorer, but that's something to work on moving forward. You know, because you know you got to fix every aspect. You got to fix every aspect of your game. But what did you think of the offense? What did you think of it?
Like I said, it got off to a slow start. That was the big difference. It was that slow start because it picked up after a while. We actually outscored them in the second half. You know what I mean? If you look. So like our offense wasn't bad in the second half. We did pretty good. It's just we couldn't overcome that start. You know what I mean? If we would have started like I wouldn't even say a great start. If we would have hit maybe like three more shots, you know what I mean? We probably would have had a better chance of winning and maybe would have had a little more momentum. But unfortunately, that it kind of held us back. Like you said, it was a drag in the beginning.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like they came out with the right energy. I mean, could it be that they were tired from the two games from Cleveland and Boston? Possibly. That, you know, those games were very draining for all of us, not even the players, fans included. I was emotional.
It was an overtime game, so maybe that had something to do with it. Who knows?
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, they still put up a fight. Now, granted, KD and Ben Simmons were not playing, and I think if they were playing, we would have been down by 30 or more, like the game we went to at the Nets. Because at one
especially
point,
especially that slow start, yeah, yo, we lucked out.
Yeah, they had
a slow start, and KD was there. Yeah, they would have taken advantage of that.
They had us at like 15 at one point, so that lead would have just kept going up if KD and Ben Simmons was there. But honestly, that game played out how it was kind of supposed to, you know. So it can't really be too bad. You just got to learn from it and kind of see what you're lacking. You know, what do you think we were lacking the most? I think we were just lacking a good start.
A player.
You know what?
The A player.
Straight up, yeah. A player. You know, Julius Randle's an all-star. He's good.
He's developing into an A player, but still, like, he's not enough.
It's clear.
And Brunson are not enough.
Well, Brunson had a bad game, so...
I'm talking about in general, not just for this game. I mean, in general.
But I think when Brunson's on, though, like, all the way, I think we could win. I think we could beat the Nets. Not in a seven-game series, though, I'm not going to lie. But I think we'll be able to beat them twice. So yeah, that concludes this week of basketball, man. We ended up 2-1, like we said. Better, you know, that's great. Over 500 for the
we thought the possibility was there. We were gonna lose all three games. So for us to be 2-1 is awesome.
Off the chisannels. So
hell, this week's gonna be pretty interesting.
Yes, let's go over the schedule like we always do, Stevie.
Got the Lakers, the Heat, the Clippers, and the Sixers. Woo!
Okay, I think we beat LeBron because he cried yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you saw that little baby tantrum? I'm sorry, bro, but that was sad.
If Julius Randle had that same tantrum, it would have been he's an emotional asshole. He's not good. You know what I mean?
He would have got chewed out, not even by the sports media, by his own fan base, which would have been pathetic. So if anybody in our fan base is sticking to LeBron, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, that's exactly anyway, how
it, I got that as a win too.
Yeah, I got that as a win for moral sakes.
The Heat, you know what's crazy? I'm going to have that as a win as well.
Are they doing bad? Injuries? What's wrong?
We're not that far behind them. Like, I think we're like record-wise. Hold on, I'm sorry.
I think we were tied with them at one point.
Record-wise right now, they're 28-23. We're 27-24. So we're a game out. I think we beat them and tied them.
Well, if we beat the Lakers and then they lose.
That's true.
That would be the tiebreaker. If we play them, that would be the tiebreaker. So
I got us beating the Lakers and the Heat. And I got us losing to the Clippers and the Sixers.
Actually, I think the Heat played today. I think I had him on one of my tickets.
Let me see. Let me check.
So if that's the case, that means they won. So
nope. No Miami Heat today.
None.
Not that I see.
So they play tomorrow. So that's good. So
they play the Cavs tomorrow.
Okay, so I'll catch that game. So we gotta win. We definitely gotta win tomorrow. So the Heat, that's a good call.
I gotta
say I'm gonna say an L, man. I'm gonna say no. I think we get outcoached. I think we get out.
What do you think our record is this week? I got us 2-2.
Who's after the Heat?
After the Heat is the Clippers.
Yeah, that's an L.
And after that is Philly.
Embiid's been hurt. I don't know if he comes back for that game. If Embiid is out, win. If Embiid's in, loss.
You got us at 1-3, most likely.
No, 3-1.
You got us winning three games?
Because we beat the Lakers. We beat the Miami. And then we beat the Sixers. If Embiid's out.
That is 2-2. That's just me.
So I go 3-1, 2-2. If 2-2 if Embiid plays. 2-2 if Embiid plays. 3-1 if he doesn't. So
all right, that's what's up.
So we'll see how that goes. LeBron, we come for you, brother. You know how that goes. I'm gonna set out a promo for LeBron. We played him here or we played him in LA?
I think here, because the game starts at 7:30.
We come into the garden, brother. We're gonna knock you out. We're gonna rip your beard off. We're gonna put your beard on your head. And then we gonna kick you out the garden. You know how that goes. But yo, shout out to Nick's Anonymous family. Episode 85 in the books. You already know how we do. 2-1. Everybody should have a smile on their face.
I do.
Yeah, I do as well, man. And get ready, man. Because if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it's game day, baby. So you already know how that goes. Let's go, Knicks. Hopefully they pull this one out versus the Lakers. I will put my ticket. I'll put money line on the Knicks. So hopefully they win me some bread.
I'm going to bet the over.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'm going to bet the over for LeBron to drop over 25 and for Randle to drop over 30.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's not bad. And 1-3, because they always have him at 1-3 game for some reason. So I'm going to keep going with that one. So, yo, I'm LJ.
Stevie in the building.
Knicks Anonymous in the building. You already know how we do. New episode every Monday, 6 a.m. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Links down in the description below. If you like the content, like, comment, subscribe, do what you do. We love you guys. Be safe. Let's go, Knicks.